rise in prayer and claim our place. Though fiery darts against us fly, with hopeful hearts we raise our cry. In the name we have named, in the grace we have claimed, we stand bold and unashamed. Bold we stand, being unashamed. We go out, we go on, in the grace we have claimed. Never turn back, never give in. We follow the one who is sure to win. His name is named, his word proclaimed. We stand bold and unashamed. Bold we speak at his command. We take his word and take our stand. Though all the world against us rail, we stand for him who cannot fail. In the name we have named, in the grace we have claimed, we stand bold and unashamed. Bold we stand and unashamed. We go out, we go on, in the grace we have claimed. Never turn back, never give in. We follow the one who is sure to win. His name is named, his word proclaimed. We are bold and unashamed. Bold we go through fire and flood, through wind and wave and grace of God. The hosts of hell against us rise. We onward go and claim the prize. In the name we have named, in the grace we have claimed, we stand bold and unashamed. Bold we stand and unashamed. We go out, we go on, in the grace we have claimed. Never turn back, never give in. We follow the one who is sure to win. His name is named, his word proclaimed. We are bold and unashamed.
Praise the Lord. We all need to go and be bold and unashamed. We need to be willing to go out and take the truth to the people that God has placed around us. I was reading a passage of scripture this week, the book of Colossians, just asking God to share something with me that I needed. And God brought out a verse, just that verse that Paul asked that he would have an open door of utterance to proclaim the truth of the gospel. And folks, we need to be asking God to bring those opportunities. Not that we don't take, sometimes we take opportunities that we just see, but certainly we need to be asking God to create an opportunity that we can just open, that the door of opportunity and window would be open to us, that we would be able to identify, there it is, this is it, this is it's that neighbor, it's that mailman, it's that whoever it is, that coworker, and that we would identify it, that God, so that's been my prayer this week, and I'm praying that God would do that. You need to pray the same thing, that God would give us opportunities with the lost. As I mentioned, it's good to have the Hendersons with us today. They've been an encouragement and a blessing to us. And they've gone through a lot in the last many years, but God still has them going, and that's a blessing. And we just sang the song, you know, never give up, never give in, brother. You just keep going. And keep trusting God with your children. Keep trusting God with your ministry, and God's going to bless in great and mighty ways. Just like that illustration I gave with the rains and the clouds and stuff, God's got sunshine. He's got good things. I already know he has, but he's got some good things. We need to pray for the Hendersons, and God will bless them. Again, come back tonight so you can hear more about their ministry in Guam and the people that they're reaching out to. Brother, why don't you come and share the truth with us, and hopefully we'll all learn some good things today.
Thank you. All right. It is Father's Day, and I want to say a big happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. Happy Father's Day. I did not remember this, but several of our children said that we were here in 2021 on Mother's Day. I didn't even remember that. My wife said, "Nuh-uh, how? How do you know that?" I said, "Because we were out in the parking lot and gave you presents." So there's a big shuttle bus out there that, I mean, it's big and you can do a lot of things in it, so I'm expecting presents. Yeah, it's good to be a father. So all you fathers out there, happy Father's Day. There is a man, I don't even know where it's at, but it's nearby. So I'll ask you if you know of him, and then maybe you can say it's nearby. It's Pastor David Miklas. Okay, so must not be nearby. But he's a retired guy, and somehow I got a hold of his website or something years upon years ago. It was Deputation. And he's always writing. He's always writing sermons. He's always writing good things. So I picked up the phone one day and I said, introduced myself, and I said something to the effect, man, I like all the stuff you do. And I was wondering if I could use some of it. He said, "That's why I write it. That's why I put it out there." So he wrote something this week about fathers. I don't know if it's original, but I just want to share it with us fathers, okay, before we go on. Children get their earliest and most important ideas about God from their earthly fathers. And after he said that this morning, I was like, wait, maybe I shouldn't read this, but I think I'm going to read it. About, you know, if we hadn't did our best, if we have some regrets, let's move on, okay? But let me read this man's words here. When fathers do a poor job, their children may grow up thinking God is like their earthly fathers. Impatient, self-centered, ill-tempered, unavailable, unloving, and unfaithful to promises. Listen to this statement. The child's view of God comes from what he sees in his earthly father. A child asks, "My dad does not love me, so why should I believe that God loves me?" A child asks, "My dad is not personally interested in me, so why should I believe that there is a God who is personally interested in me?" A child says, "My dad says he loves me, but never corrects me. God might be a God of love, but he will let me get by with my sin." A child says, "My dad is always angry. I guess God is always angry too." What an awesome responsibility it is to be a father. And he goes on with actually a sermon, and I don't want to preach that, but that's one of the things he puts in. So I just thought that would be an encouragement to us fathers today. All right, take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6 this morning. I want to say thank you again, Pastor Madrid, Faith Bible Church here in Mount Joy, Pennsylvania, one of our favorite churches. We love coming up here. I mean, with a name like Mount Joy, that's pretty good, you know? And just so many things up here, and just a blessing to be your missionaries, extension of Faith Bible Church all the way 8,000 miles away in Guam. And you will hear that tonight. But what an honor, what a privilege it is to represent our Lord and Savior and to represent you all. So that's a great responsibility. And we don't take it lightly. Okay? All right. This passage of Scripture means a lot to me. It means a whole lot to me. C.H. Spurgeon said this, "Oh, to be bathed in a text of Scripture and to let it be sucked up in your very soul till it saturates your heart. This passage of Scripture has done that. It's taken a hold of me. Because as we know, God makes no mistakes. His way is perfect. His way is best. His word is good. It's sure. And every bit of it that we read, we can take God at His word. So He has an interesting passage here for us. I want us to read it. Mark chapter 6, verse 1. And He went out from thence and came into His own country. And His disciples follow Him. And when the Sabbath day was come, He began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing Him were astonished, saying, from whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto Him, that even such mighty works are wrought by His hands? I want to stop there just a second. It says, what wisdom is this which is given unto Him? These folks didn't even realize that He was wisdom personified. He was God in person. And when Jesus speaks, we ought to listen. And these mighty works are wrought by His hands. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at Him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And He could there do no mighty work save except that He laid His hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And He marveled because of their unbelief. And He went around about the villages teaching. Folks, I want to bring to you a message this morning entitled, When God Marvels. Let's pray. Lord, we come before You today thanking You for Your blessings, Lord, Your goodness to us. Thank You that You love us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died on the cross for us. And Lord, You love us with an everlasting love, with an unconditional love. Lord, You gave all that we might have all. Lord, You're everything that we need. And we are so thankful for who You are. Thank You for Your faithfulness day in, day out. You never change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Forever. Thus, we can trust You because You're trustworthy. Lord, we can turn to You. We can call You our Heavenly Father. And what a blessing it is to be a child of God. And what great benefits we have simply by trusting You. And Lord, I do pray for this service today. I pray for this message that You would be seen, heard, and known, that Your power would go forth, Lord, making changes in the hearts and lives of men, women, children. Lord, we thank You that every word, Lord, that we hear today from Thee is truth. And Lord, may it be exactly what we need today. Lord, thank You. Work in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to focus on verse number 5 there. And He could there do no mighty work, save that He laid His hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. When you read that, what do you see in it? God is likening a miracle because healing people there's only one that can heal. You know, there's those faith healers out there in Guam, two or three times a year. There's a big tent ministry up in Agana. That's the capital. And this guy comes in, and he's a healer. You know how many people he's healed? Take a wild guess. Zero. But they come, they flock there. They come, he comes back with his lies and manipulation and all stuff like that. The crippled go in there, all kind of people go in there, and they come out the same, and they're still the same. But there is a healer. There is one who does miracles, and it's God. And he likens healing a few sick folk as not a mighty work. Oh, he includes it. But he could do there no mighty work except heal a few. A couple years back, you'll hear tonight more, I had a heart attack. I went in cardiac arrest. Joseph, my son, was there beside me. Maggie was there beside me. They gave me, or Joseph gave me CPR for 7 minutes. Maggie kicked me. She told me she kicked me. I was laying there. Medically, they say, dead. No heartbeat, no breath, purple, foaming at the mouth. Joseph said, almost hard as a rock. They're screaming out, crying to God. Maggie's kicking me. She was praying. You know what that was? God healed me physically. He used Joseph. He used the EMS who came and put the defibrillator on me and bounced me off the ground. Joseph said, 6 inches. Nothing, they said. Flip him over. Put me on my face. Did it again. Joseph said, no wonder I had so many bruises on my face and cuts and everything. Some of it was because I fell off the toilet when I had my heart attack, right into a space heater or something and busted my head open. Joseph had learned. I'll tell it more tonight. But anyway, the fact of the matter is, I was almost in the presence of God. I was almost passing on into eternity to be with my Savior. I was sick. Had a stop valve in my heart. But you know what God did? He healed me. I'm here today, a living testimony, because God healed me. I don't take the fact that He healed me that day lightly. I don't take the fact that I've been a diabetic for over 40 years, insulin dependent for 39, and I'm still here today. Praise God. I don't take for granted that our children get sick. I remember when Noelle was just a little bitty baby, she had double pneumonia, she had the whooping cough, she had all this stuff. She was in the hospital. It didn't look good. I'm amazed that she's here today. You know why? Because one day when we were laying there, sitting there in the hospital room, and it looked bleak, Noelle sat up and said, I'm hungry. And we just about lost it because she hadn't spoke, she hadn't did anything for days upon days upon days. I'm glad she's here. Everybody here has health issues. You're glad you're here. And you've been healed or are being healed because there is a great physician. And he heals. Nobody else does. It's a miracle when we're healed. I looked in your songbook just before I came up. There's a writer of songs. His name's John W. Peterson. I mean, many of you probably know. Me and my boys sing a song. His O Glorious Love, he wrote that. He wrote a lot of hymns. He's in there, a lot of hymns. There's one hymn that's not in there that I like to sing. I'm going to sing it again. You may see a theme here. He wrote this. It's kind of been put out of place since he wrote it. And it's not in your hymn book. It's not in our hymn book at church back home. Many are, but he wrote this song. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. Who does miracles? Only God can do miracles. You know how I was saved? By his love and his grace. The word miracle means a surprising and welcome event that is not explicable, that means explainable, able to understand by natural or scientific laws, and is therefore considered to be the work of a divine agency. Folks, that divine agency is God. It's a miracle when one of us, we're saved, is saved. You know how I know that? Because Paul said, I am not, praise God for the song this morning, I'm going to carry over that tonight, but I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It's the power of God. That word power, dunamis, appears 11 times in the New Testament. 9 times it refers to God's miraculous power. You know how we're saved? By a miracle. God's power. You know how you're not saved? You reject it. You call it foolishness, because to the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish, but to them that believe, or us that believe, it is the power of God unto salvation. Folks, it's a miracle that Bill Henderson is here today. In many ways. In many ways. His miraculous power of just healing folks, a mighty work when I otherwise would have been dead and gone on to be with my Lord. If I had been in Guam at that time, I wouldn't be here today. There's no ambulance nearby. There's no Joseph right beside me. And God, in his perfect time and in his sovereign, knowing all things, sent me to the States. I was here with Pastor Madrid just days before I had my heart attack. Just days. And if I was not there in that place in Milwaukee, I wouldn't be here today. All of God's workings, all of his timings, it's the reason I'm here. It took a miracle to bring me back. By the way, I didn't die. You know why? Because God's word is truth. It's appointed on the man once to die, and after this to judgment, the Bible says. So all those out there, might even be some in here, you died. You didn't die because you're here. Because God said it's appointed once to die. All the doctors said you were dead for 7 minutes. But it took a miracle. You know what else it took? I sang it a while ago. To save me, this poor, wretched, redneck, he saved me. You know why he saved me? Because I believed. I believed God's word. And that's how you get rescued from your sins. That's how you're delivered from the punishment of your sins, because you believe that God took your punishment on the cross, and you believe and trust God for your salvation. There's a man in my church many years ago, he's not there anymore. He told me right when I was first getting started in Christianity, after I got saved, I looked up to him, still do. And he told me he had 6 children. Me and my wife were in awe, because they were 6 children and they seemed to love the Lord. And they were always in line and such, and other people, he was an evangelist, other people kind of looked down on him. They did. Like, I don't know. I guess because he lived by faith. But he told me one day, he said, Bill, if I can trust God for my eternity, I can trust him to take care of my 6 children. I can trust God I can believe God. At the time, I think I had one. 10 children later, plus one that we're fostering. And y'all know Dierra up in Wisconsin, so we just keep adding. I had also a guy on the front porch of my church at Fellowship Baptist Church before I had any children. For some of you fathers out there, it may be struggling. He said, Bill, don't you dare have any children before you can afford it. That was at a Baptist church. That was me getting taught. If I had took his advice, I would have no children right now. I still cannot afford them. But I have a God who can. You know why? Because he keeps his word. You can believe God. You can trust him. Jesus could do no... And it's interesting, in the passage, he's in Nazareth. I think the last time he goes there, where he was brought up, where his family was. Okay, I could go on and on with this passage. That's why it just sinks in. Because in Guam, you know, Mary, she's sinless. She's really the matriarch. She's you got to go to her for everything. They'll say not, but yeah, they do. They'll say no. She don't even have children. She never had any relationship with Joseph, according to them. This is just brethren, like it says everywhere else in the Bible. I think it says, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon, and are not, this is sisters here with us. And guess what it says? They were offended at him. They heard more truth than a lot of us. And they didn't accept him then. They were offended at him. Have you ever had that in your family? When you take a stand for righteousness? When you want to point someone to Jesus Christ and his word, the Bible? Has that ever happened to you? It happened to Jesus. It happened to Jesus. He could do no great, no mighty work there because of their unbelief. Because of their unbelief. Except he healed a few folks. That's all he did. It reminds me of Genesis 1:16, this passage. I always relate it to this passage. Genesis 1:16 says, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. You know what comes after that? Surely someone does. Amen. He made the stars also. There's currently, the last time I checked, which was yesterday, there's 200 billion trillion stars in our galaxy. That's a lot of stars, brother. And you know what he did? He placed them there and he named them. It's just like he said this morning. I pick up on so many things. He could have just preached. By the way, if God hadn't called him into the ministry, I know what he would be doing. He looks like the President of the United States. You do, man. I mean, not Trump. But just, I'll talk to you later about it. It's like standing in line. What if we had to stand in line, like he said? I love getting truth and getting application. What if you had to stand in line to pray? You ever stood in line? Yeah, anybody ever been to Bucky's? How many here's been to Bucky's? Wow, y'all are missing it. Travel south. Bucky's, Texas gas station, their bathrooms are about as big as this room here. The people there, the people that go in there, out, I mean, hundreds of gas. Look it up. Look up Bucky's. But we were going through Kentucky. There's one in, I guess that's the closest one, probably, Richmond, Kentucky. No, it wasn't. Where was we at? Florence, South Carolina, that was it. Florence heading up North Carolina. And one of our little girls needed to use the restroom. So we pulled in, the busiest one I've ever seen in my life. The line for the women's bathroom, even though the bathroom is as big as this room, was out the door. And Deborah, it was Deborah. That's why we pulled off. And praise God, a young lady who worked there said, "Does she need to go to the bathroom?" I was like, "How can you tell?" She said, "I'll take her." So I'm looking for Mama who's coming in. I said, "This lady took her. So, well, there's thousands of people. Go look. But just, you got to wait in line to use the bathroom. You got to wait in line to maybe get a ticket to the Masters, but you can't do that." But God, millions upon millions can pray at the same time. You know why? Because He's God. Man, we serve an awesome God. But He put the stars in place, the billions upon trillions of them, okay? And just to share this with you right here, the biggest star in the universe that we know of is UY Scuti, a hypergiant with a radius around 1,700 times larger than the radius of the sun. To put that into perspective, the volume of almost 5 billion suns could fit inside the sphere of the size of UY Scuti. Our sun is enormous. More than 1 million Earths could fit inside of it. But on a stellar scale, it could be swallowed up by about a half of all stars observed so far, especially stars like UY Scuti. UY Scuti. Our sun is just a speck in it. Do you know how mighty our God is? He created the heavens and the earth. And the earth and the heavens as we know them, and especially that huge sun out there, is just a tiny speck compared to some of the larger stars that He created. And He has a purpose for all of them. Everything He does is good. Think about that. We serve a big God. And it's time for us as Christians to make Him big. To talk about Him. To boast about Him. To brag about Him. To believe Him. Folks, and He could there do no mighty work. God wants to do a mighty work in our lives. Miraculous things that we know not of. He wants to take you and use you in such a way that He is glorified. God causes all kinds of things to happen in Scripture. Lazarus dying. The blind man being born at birth blind. And what does God always say? Jesus always speaks. He says that God might be glorified. Okay? Each and every one of you sitting in here today has the potential for God to work a mighty, mighty miracle in your life. A miracle. A miracle is something that only God can do. I'll hit a few of them. The miracle of believing God enough to be a witness for Him. To go into all the world and preach the gospel. To share with others what you have that God has commanded us to do. In Scripture, God heals, I believe it was a blind man, and He tells him to go and tell no man. And he went out and told everybody. He tells us to go tell everybody, and we don't hardly tell anybody. You know what God wants to do in our lives? He wants to make us soul winners. Because He's commanded us to. And whatever He's commanded us to do, not just Pastor Madrid, not just Brother Brubaker, not just his son for the Amish, not just Pastor Henderson for the folks down in Guam, but everybody sitting in here who is a born-again child of God, He's given a command that He's already enabled us to do. We just have to believe that he will do it. Someone said, I don't know who it was. I've heard it enough. I don't know who it was. It's not good news to those who never hear it. Folks, we have an opportunity to share the good news, to tell others about Jesus Christ, the Savior, the only way, all the time. Are you going to believe him? He's praying for 10 Amish families. You know, it would take one to make a difference in this church. And not even an Amish, just someone. Pray for Ricardo. Does anybody here know Ricardo? He was a black guy who pulled up. He came to the door. I thought he was coming, invited. Maybe he was, but pray for him. He left. And as I tried to stop him, I waved at him. He waved at me and kept going. Who knows? Who knows what led him here today to come through the front door? I had to go outside to do some business with my insulin. But he came back out. I noticed he got in his car. I thought he was waiting maybe 15 minutes to church start, but he left. Now pray for him, because I don't know why God sent him here today. I don't know why God led him here today. But there's all kind of Ricardos in the world. They're everywhere that God brings into our life, that we have just the slimmest of opportunity to give them the good news that they can have their sins forgiven, that they can have a home in heaven, and that they can have their life changed right on this earth today. God wants to do a mighty work in your life through giving out the gospel. God wants to do a mighty work in your life because of prayer. Because of prayer. An unoffered prayer will never get answered. Never. Ever, ever. But God commands us to pray without ceasing, that men ought always to pray. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. He wants to do a mighty work through prayer. But you got to believe God that he's going to answer it. Or else you're a double-minded man, James 1 tells us there. God wants to do a miraculous work in this church. It wouldn't be here if it wasn't so. He doesn't want the status quo. He wants his word to be proclaimed, lived, and he wants to do a mighty work through Faith Bible Church. He wants someone in here to give. But you say, I can't give. I have too many bills. I learned a long time ago from Pastor Hager. He probably got it from somebody else. People say, I can't afford to give. The fact of the matter is, you can't afford not to give. He also said this, you can't outgive God, but it sure is fun trying to. Okay? God wants us to give. My pastor preached this past week on there is that scattereth, and I'm forgetting briefly, some of you Bible scholars, there is that scattereth and what? And increases, and there is that withholdeth and it tends to poverty. Yes. Yeah. Amazing. That's with everything. Your time, your talents, your treasures. There's those that give and it just increases. There's those that hold back, you're impoverished. God wants you to trust him enough to give your tithes and offerings and gifts and see what God can do in your life. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Everything under him, everything around him. He owns them. He can supply your every single need because He has said, I'll supply your every single need. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? He could there do no mighty work because of their unbelief. Because of their unbelief. You know what unbelief, folks, does? It limits God. In this passage, it limits the mighty works that Jesus wanted to do in Nazareth. But the only thing He could do was just heal a few people. That stands out to me. That's a verse of Scripture that I just want it to be sucked up to my very soul because it changes the way I think about everything. He wants to do a miracle in our lives. But because of our unbelief, the only thing He can do is heal a few folks, make a few sick folks better, which we call, if someone in here, and I know there probably is someone in here, maybe stage 4 cancer, you walk into the doctor and you're completely 100% healed. Now they may say, we don't know what happened, but we know that it would be a miracle from God. A mighty work from God. God does that because He's God. He can speak, and I'll be healed of my diabetes. He spoke, and the billions and trillions of stars were put in place. Folks, God wants to do a mighty work here. But you know what? Just like we saw this morning, the hindrances that prevent us from having answered prayer, this is what unbelief does in our life. I've tried to lay out that God wants to do some mighty works in each and every one of our lives. He wants to use us to make a difference in this world. That's why we're left here. We're left to make a difference. Not to fit in. Not to just say whatever. But to say, God, how can I make a difference today? How can I show somebody who God is? How can I make God big? Number one, unbelief limits the effectiveness of God's Word in our lives. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says this, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Folks, you want God's word to be effective in your life? You know what you got to do? I told you I'm simple. You get what you got, what you get. Believe Him. Take God's word today and say, God, show me your word, something that I can believe. God wants to do a mighty work in your life. Number two, unbelief restrains the power of God. Philippians 3:10, Paul says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. Paul wanted to know the exceeding greatness, the exceeding goodness of His power. And that power is in all of us. It's in all of us. Christ liveth in me. Oh, what a salvation that I have. Christ liveth in me. He wants to work in and through us, folks, but unbelief restrains the power of God. Unbelief diminishes our hope, joy, and peace. That's amazing. The blessed hope that we have in Jesus Christ, the joy that we have in God, the peace that we have that passes all understanding is diminished, made lesser because of our unbelief. Romans 15:13 says this, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace." That's what I just said. "In believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Folks, how do you get that hope, joy, and peace, according to this verse? By believing. By believing God. We've had all, Pastor mentioned, we've had all kind of struggles the last few years. We wouldn't be here unless we believed that God would have us here. We believed that God was on supply over $10,000, much more, to get airline tickets to come over here. We patiently prayed, patiently waited. And my wife's desire was to get here, originally we were supposed to be here in April. Oh, we'll give God 3 months, 5 months, 6 months. It was way back, we were praying. But she said, you know, our oldest daughter in New York is going to have a baby due February the 5th. I want to make it there, Lord. I want to get it there. Around January the 25th or something like that, God answered prayer. We had enough to buy tickets. So we bought them and landed in Long Island, New York City, January 30th. Little Vivian Jane was born 30 hours later, February the 1st, early in the morning. We didn't have time to get over the jet lag. Of course, that takes me weeks now, but it's early in the morning. Jesse calls and says, "I need you, Mama. She has home births." Mama went down the road a little bit and delivered our third granddaughter. You know why? Because my wife believed that God was going to supply what we had need of. Believing. Are you getting it? You have to believe God. Past our salvation, yes, that is the greatest thing ever will happen in your life, to believe God to save you. But then life goes on. And we can't be like in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says that the Gentiles, all of them, they have need, they have everything that we have, same needs. But we have a Heavenly Father who knows all that. Only thing we got to do is seek Him first and believe Him, and He's going to supply everything we need. Everything. I look at the Brubakers. They have seven? You said seven? They're a picture of us. Brother, I know you're a man of faith and you believe God, but keep on believing for everything. Everything. Because as a man in my church back home says, life is hard, but God is good. Trust God, believe God for everything. Unbelief limits the effectiveness of God's word. Unbelief restrains the power of God. Unbelief diminishes our hope, joy, and peace. Lastly, unbelief erodes our faith. When you and I believe what God says, God gives us more understanding and more faith. Now then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know how you believe God more and more? You read, you believe, you read, and you believe. You read and you believe. But unbelief erodes that faith. It washes it away. Y'all know all about Hurricane Helene. We found out about it when we first traveled Interstate 40 through the Great Smoky Mountains. I don't recommend it. But when that hurricane came through, it eroded the sides of... How many's been through theirs? Anybody? Okay, we got one back there. We got another. It's... I don't like it. Before, you're already riding on the side of a cliff. But now with the southbound lanes or eastbound lanes washed away, and they've got two lanes open on the northbound, just this way, and to the right is, it's crazy. But you know what eroded that? Lots of water that they'd never seen before. And I don't like how they're fixing it. They're just bringing in more dirt and stuff that's going to get washed away one day. When I first saw it in Guam, I said, I know what they're going to do. They're going to make a long bridge. They can do it. Today's technology. But that water eroded that away. You know what unbelief does? It's a picture of that. It erodes our faith. Whereas once we believe that God can do anything, now you get to a point where you say, God can't do that. There's no way. My son graduated from college a couple weeks ago. You know how much I helped him in 4 years at Baptist College of Ministry? Not much. Not much. You know what God did? Paid all his bills. Every last one of them. Every last one of them. Some miraculous, miraculous stuff. Because you know why? Mainly Joseph. He talked all the time of God's going to supply. Dad, I believe him. And he miraculously did. I have two daughters over here. Maggie's got to go back to school to finish her senior year this year. Noelle wants to go this fall. It's going to take a miracle to put them there. But I serve a big God who's promised to supply our every single need. And he wants to do a great and mighty work in the lives of his children. But many times he can't, as evidence here in this passage of Scripture, because of our unbelief. Folks, it's not enough to say that we believe that we're Bible believers. We must believe and trust everything that God says in his Word. Everything. All the time. There's no days off with believing. There's no days off with believing. Trust him with everything all the time in your life. And you're going to see miracles performed. Because I know through this passage of Scripture that God wants to. He wants to do some mighty things this week in the family Bible school. He does. He wouldn't be having it if he didn't. He wants to change somebody's life for the better. He prayed that before, that somebody. If you hadn't planned on coming and you got children, which I just heard, come. We're going to share some things that God's done for us. That's what he asked for. God wants to do a miracle. He wants to do a mighty work in your life. But you know, the mightiest work is how I started. When God saves a poor lost sinner. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. This is the faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. If you're not saved here today, The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. What is the gospel? Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again the third day for our sins according to the scripture. He wants to save you. If you're not saved here today, He wants to save you. He wants to perform a miracle. He wants to save you today. If you're here today and you're saved, the gospel is still good news. The gospel can save you from the power of sin daily. It's the greatest news on earth, the good news. The good news. The good news. God is ready to do a miracle at Faith Bible Church. Are you ready? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for, Lord, the Word of God that's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I thank you, Lord, for how it works in my heart. Lord, it's alive. I have the author, Lord, living within me to lead me and guide me. And I thank you, Lord, for how you offer to all that free gift of salvation that you paid for. And I pray, Lord, if there's one here today that does not know you as the Savior, that their sins have not been forgiven, that today would be the day of salvation. Lord, that they would recognize their need to be saved, recognize that they're sinners, recognize that Jesus Christ is the one and only who can save from their sins. I pray for a Christian here today, Lord, that hadn't seen too many miracles in their lives besides the fact that they're saved. Oh, maybe some healings here and there. But Lord, mighty works of God that He's just waiting to perform. Work in hearts, Lord. Help us to believe Thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.